Happy Thursday.
There's no off-season on the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, it is just that red carpet time of year. Ed Morris is rolling out the red carpet with incredible savings on new Cadillacs. And of course, you can get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ira, they are rolling out the red carpet in 2018. Right now, during their 2018 red carpet sales event, lease a 2018 ATS sedan for a new low payment, just $279 a month, zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months and up to $19,000 off all remaining 2017s. Kick off your new year in a new Cadillac from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. The dealer has all the details. Ira, I've seen you standing at the corner of 275 and Fletcher. What are you doing out there?
What do you think I'm doing? Hailing a cab over there, Stephen? I believe that's where Todd's adult theater might be. Is that what you're trying to imply?
I don't know. I don't hang out over there.
These deals, I'm telling you, these Ed Morris deals, Steve, I'm knocked out by it. Here we are, approaching mid-January. Holidays are supposed to be over, and you keep overwhelming us with these offers. Keep them coming, my man.
Well, it's not me, Ira. It's our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Check them out, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com.
Todd's?
Yeah, very revealing.
You know, there's one in Newport Richey closer to you now, I think. I've seen it on 19.
You never know when you need a novelty item. Let's continue, Stephen.
Let's just say I have no idea where any of those locations are. So.
Speaking of novelty items, Ira.
The Kemper, they have a sale on rubber dolls right now that you should be aware of.
I'm not going there. Not only do I not know where a location is, I am not privy to their deals.
Hernando County has their own spots over there.
So you've got a job doing inventory on the side, Ira. We see that. Okay. So All-Pro voting came out. You are one of the 50.
I am.
50 who vote for the All-Pro teams, the official NFL MVPs.
They wanted the ballots last Tuesday, Stephen, last Tuesday.
Yeah, you spit your ballot out last Tuesday. So you vote for MVP, all the official awards, all that kind of good stuff, Coach of the Year. And the ballots are released by the Associated Press for the players, so we get to see who got votes out of those 50 panelists. And Gerald McCoy, everybody's favorite defensive tackle slash punching bag on the Bucks, he got no votes from any of your colleagues for the All-Pro team. So tell us how the voting works so people understand what that means, and then there are at least a dozen other defensive tackles who got a vote. What do you think?
They have a certain format the AP uses. It changes from year to year. They have certain stipulations. Like, for example, Chandler Jones, who I believe led the league in sacks maybe with 17 this season, they made a stipulation that Chandler Jones should be listed at linebacker. Now, I think he also played, you could argue, defensive end for Arizona. Well, when you list Chandler Jones at linebacker, that takes up one of the linebacker spots. So that, you know, that kind of screws Levante David. Maybe if they had two outside 4-3 linebackers and two inside guys, maybe David makes the team, whatever. But they only wanted three linebackers, three. And so I went with Jones, Luke Kuechly. And by the way, my third guy was Deion Jones, who I think is a heck of a player for Atlanta. I believe he made the final play in the game against the Panthers, the final deflection. He's a terrific player, Deion Jones. But anyway, getting back to McCoy. Was Aaron Donald unanimous? I don't remember if Aaron Donald was unanimous.
Aaron Donald got 49 votes.
49
votes. So he missed by one. Somebody left him off. Cam Hayward of Pittsburgh, Fletcher Cox.
Those were my two guys, Donald and Hayward. Those were my two guys.
Fletcher Cox of Philly got a third. Calais Campbell was fourth because he does play inside and
yes,
outside.
He does.
Geno Atkins, Quan Short, popular names. Damon Harrison, of course, who's always there. He got one vote. Sue.
Zero for McCoy.
And zero for McCoy.
I can't say I'm shocked, Steve. Now, they only asked for two defensive tackles. Lee, this is not the Pro Bowl, you know, with alternates and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
You got two picks to make. Now, anybody who, you know, worth the salt is going to pick Aaron Donald. Now you're down to one spot. You're down to one spot and 31 other teams. McCoy, I think, has played well. this year. I think he played hard. I think he played hurt for a lot of it.
Last couple games, warrior.
Nobody would have said a word if McCoy would have sat out the last couple games. Nobody. But McCoy wasn't going to do it. Anyway, it just shows, it backs up what we're saying, Steve. He's a very good player, but he's not one of the two best defensive tackles in football, and I'll stand by that.
Now, no shame in that either.
No, no shame at all. He is, I believe, fourth. I looked it up. Fourth in the NFL over the last 3 years among defensive tackles for sacks, so he's still up there. But
I mean, the way some people complain about him, you think he's Akeem Spence.
You know, and you hear all the things about the double teams that he faces, Steve. You don't think Aaron Donald gets doubled? Sure he does. Absolutely he does.
All right, so, Sage, you're all pro colleagues, right? I was very stunned. I just want to throw this past you. I'm not even sure you're aware. But the all-pro teams are announced by AP, and sitting at left guard, you're all-pro left guard, and there's only one left guard on the all-pro team. That's it.
They want you to take. They would like you to take a left guard and a right guard rather than just two guards.
So
they,
you
they
only,
encourage you to do that, and I did that.
You only got to vote for one guard, that left guard.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the winning guard, the all-pro, the best left guard in the league, allegedly, is Andrew Norwell of the Carolina Panthers.
It's got your dander up over there, Steven.
Well,
I like it when your dander's up.
It's got my dander up a little bit because, come on, Andrew Norwell, is he really the best left guard? Is everybody, all these voters really know about him? And he's on the Panthers. He's good. They only put a second-round tender on him. Okay? He's going to be a free unrestricted now. If his team only thought he was second-round worthy, with the shortage of linemen in the NFL, don't you think they would have taken a first-round tender on
him? You're itching to say something here, Steve, and I'm gonna let you say it. Why in the world was that guy voted first-team All-Pro?
So
you have an answer.
Here's the punchline. I was trying to figure out why this guy is All-Pro, and sure enough,
I didn't even consider him.
The Pro Football Focus stat nerds, they worship Andrew Norwell. They've told everybody that he's a superstar.
The guys in the T-shirts and their underwear?
The guys who are mysterious. Most of them are unnamed. Some of them are volunteers.
They're grading film.
They're grading watching film, pretending that they know assignments and what the guys are supposed to do.
Irishmen in their dorm rooms.
Some
in
of them
Ireland.
Are overseas, hammering away on the keyboard. So are you disgusted that your colleagues picked Andrew Norwell when it seems to me, maybe I'm crazy, that they picked him just because Pro Football Focus said he's great?
So he was the highest rated guard or left guard?
Left guard.
Well, you've been reading my columns now for almost 2 years. Lee,
longer than that.
Lee, no, well, on Joe Buck's.
Okay.
Lee, have you ever seen me allude to Pro Football Focus?
No. You're not the only one. And even for good reasons.
Steve, have you? Have I ever mentioned Pro Football
Focus? Not that I'm aware of, no.
I'm kind of proud of that. Now, I think, you know, they need some competition, Pro
they
Football.
They have.
And until I know more about them, I'm not going to buy into them because I don't know who's doing the judging. And as Steve said, you don't know what the assignments are on a particular play.
Well,
very
who's
difficult.
Doing the judging? I mean, you know, who's doing the judging?
It's no coincidence that he made the All-Pro team and he happens to be the top-rated guy on the Pro Football Focus. That can't be a coincidence.
No, Pro Football Focus does have competition, and I like these guys. That's Football Outsiders. They're stat geeky, but they're not slaves of stats. What I mean by that is if they conduct some, you know, however they do it, and the stats say X, they don't just say, well, the stats say it, so that thus it shall be. They're critical thinkers. And I'll give you an example. One example, just this morning, Mike Tanner, who I know, he's a good guy, Football Outsiders, writes for Bleacher Report. I mean, you actually want to read his columns. You're entertained. You're informed. And someone threw out a stat today. This guy is a stat geek on his own. He put out some stat that said something about game-winning touchdown drives. Jared Goff 2, Carson Wentz 0. And this guy's like, what the hell does that mean? Well, he's right. Who would you pick, Goff or Wentz? Of course. And not to mention it, the Eagles probably had 3 touchdown leads at the end of the games. They didn't need to. So I like the critical thinkers. And the open-mindedness. Just because Football Outsiders has a stat doesn't mean they swallow them whole. Like, well, that's what it says. But here's my story. You know this guy, Mark Caboli, Pittsburgh, covers the Steelers, been covering the Steelers forever.
Bouchette's usually the guy over there.
Well, he's the guy, but Caboli didn't work for the okay. Post-Gazette. Okay. Caboli worked for the Tribune Review with your buddy Duke.
Right.
And Caboli still covers the Steelers. Great guy. Anyway, he was telling me a story either at the Combine or the Super Bowl last year that the Pro Football Focus guys, and I've seen them in their little cliques, And it's almost like the Scientologists in downtown Clearwater. They all got their windbreakers on, their Pro Football Focus. Who they're trying to impress, I don't know. Well, anyway, the story here I got for you is they showed up at a Steelers training camp practice. They're all on the sidelines, two or three of them. They got their little windbreakers, Pro Football windbreakers. Villanueva, offensive guard for the Steelers. He notices them in the middle of practice. He turns around and starts yelling, "Y'all offensive grades suck!" What happened that year, end of the year? Who was all-pro guard? Villanueva.
That doesn't look good, Steve.
But here's my favorite story. At the Combine in Indianapolis, one of the big hangouts is St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I don't know if you've ever been there. High-end.
Famous for that shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, sort of like the Burns of Tampa, but you know, right by the stadium. Everybody, it's not uncommon whatsoever to go there during the Combine at night, and you'll see all kinds of NFL guys, whether it be Arians, whether it be GM Kine,
right.
All kinds of people. I saw Del Rio getting hammered in there one night. You'll see all kinds of people every night. So anyway, Collinsworth owns Pro Football Focus, or at least he owns a chunk of it, and he had some kind of special party for the Pro Football Focus crowd. Well, St. Elmo's is also known, in addition to their shrimp cocktail, for their fetching waitresses, which Steve can attest to. And it's like Hooters calendar girls, only they're wearing slinky red cocktail outfits. So the Pro Football Focus crowd had a room there as a private party. You know, they had one drink and they're smashed. And all of a sudden, here comes one of the cocktail waitresses. And there were two guys on top of her. I mean, you talk about hard, hard sales pitch to try to have a
be careful
the evening
there.
Of their whim.
They wanted to rate her.
Yeah,
they wanted to rate her.
Yeah.
You know,
she got top grades. Anybody would be great. But anyway, they wanted to make the night of their lives. And they got their windbreakers on, Pro Football Focus, and it was like something out of the Revenge from the Nerds. These guys were so over the top on her, and she's used to like millionaires hitting on her. And these two dweebs. And it's like, if I only had a camera. It was so hilarious.
When are we getting our Joe Bucks fan windbreakers, by the way?
We aren't.
We should march into town like three gunslingers.
You want a windbreaker, Ira? Is that what you need now? A windbreaker?
By the way, do you have any access to how Donovan Smith was rated by Pro Football?
Come on, Ira. You really think I'm going to pay attention to this stuff? Come on.
Anyway, your point is well taken.
So it's bizarre. It's worth noting, especially since many NFL contracts are tied to
all. It doesn't reflect well on all pro voters.
All pro teams. No, it doesn't. I think you need to get to the bottom of that and maybe call out your voters. I don't know. It was close.
About that rating?
Norwell had 11 votes, Saffold of the Rams 10, and your guy, Richie Incognito, had 8. I know he was on your ballot.
Pardon me if it sounds like I'm defending Pro Football Focus. I'm not. But since we're so locked in on the Bucks, you know, Norwell, we probably don't know a whole lot about, even though he's in the division. We know he's a good guard, but we don't know if he's, you know, the best or whatever. Offensive line, specifically guard, is probably the hardest.
Not a lot of stats there.
Yeah,
not
you look at tackles, stats. You can look at sacks, what have you. What do you judge by? Lack of sacks, running yards. So maybe, I don't know about knee-jerk is right, but out of desperation, maybe that's the only place to turn to. I'm just assuming, I don't know.
I'll give you guys a little hint into my warped mind.
Thank you.
When I vote for AP and it's something like guards, what I do is I'll take about 6 or 8 names and I'll look up what the local writers are saying about what kind of season that guy had. These are the guys that see him 16
daily,
games
yeah.
a year, and I'll judge. I'll make my determination in part on that.
That's smart.
And everybody's got a story, especially when the Pro Bowl votes come out. There's a story about who made it from the Pro Bowl. Then the local writer will comment, you know, whether this guy had an overrated season or is well justified. Maybe a quote from an assistant coach that deals with the guy. That's what I look at. And so Incognito has a lot of off-the-field issues.
Ooh.
Now he's in the news again.
For an on-field issue.
For an on-field issue. But he's a pretty good football player.
A skunk, and he turned his career around. Now who knows? We were talking about offensive lines and Pro Football Focus. I had an NFL GM sit me down one time. He went so over the top how their offensive line grades are such a joke. I'm not making this up. He fell back in his chair in rage, waving his arms. I thought he was going to fall backwards. And he was just, waving his arms like, oh, my God. And he was giving me examples how terrible they are. And NFL people, you know, I know fans out there, they think this is biblical, Pro Football Focus. I can tell you for a fact that the people who have based their careers on judging talent, they think very little Pro Football Focus.
To Isbeth's point, which is a good one, it has ramifications. future contracts. And if the guy's good enough, I mean, really, at that elite level, it could affect his Hall of Fame status.
Sure.
Now, because that's one of the things we look at more so than Pro Bowls. How many times you make the All-Pro team?
Pro Football Focus guys, when you tell them anything negative, what's their knee-jerk reaction? And Steve and I have the ultimate comeback for it because we witnessed it. We talked to an NFL coach one night at St. Elmo's. Remember that, Steve?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Pro Football Focus. Well, the NFL contracts with us. And, Steve, your response is?
Teams pay them to do some quality control-like stuff, but it's all data geeky, kind of not stuff that involves evaluating talent. Just stuff that is the grunt work that helps them use that to, basically clerical work is really the easiest way to say it. So, but let's go to the Bucs, Ira.
What else is on your plate, my friend?
Left guard of the Bucs, right? We're talking left guards. Most of this season, you had the Dirk Koetter somehow deciding that let's split the game between Evan Smith, an older guy.
Very early in the season.
Out of the gate. Let's split time between Evan Smith and Kevin Pamfield.
What does that tell us, Steve? Right then and there. What does it tell us?
I don't know.
It tells me they're not sold on Pamfield.
Or
it's ludicrous, and the coach is a moron.
I have a third or. We saw Koetter deep in love with Martin, and no matter what the hell the game tape showed, he was going down with Doug Martin if he had to, it looked like. Maybe it's the same way with Evan Smith.
If you're sold on Pamfield, you play Pamfield. He's the future.
2 years ago, not this past season, not 17, but 16, who did Koetter say was their highest graded lineman?
Yes.
For the first half of the year, they said it was Pamfield.
Yeah.
But what do you make of that? I mean, what are we supposed to learn from the head coach with that?
I would say he had a bad training camp. That's what I make out of it, because the depth chart to me going into camp is Kevin Pamfield's your left guard. All of a sudden, the season rolls around and things have changed.
It's very odd, but what do you make of this, Ira? Late in the season, right, Ali Marpet gets hurt. He missed, the last four games, five games? Five games, I think. The line got shaken up, and Pamfield became full-time at left guard.
All of a sudden, they started running the ball.
All of a sudden, they started running the ball and playing better. Now, is that all Pamfield?
Well, it also serves to get Pamfield's attention. Lee, if you're not happy with some of his habits, practice habits or whatever, all of a sudden he's losing playing time, and then when he gets the chance, he's a different player when you put him back in.
You're missing the forest for the trees. Maybe Pamfield was the reason why they were running the ball, but I'll give you the reason why they're running the ball, and his name ain't Doug Martin.
Yeah, Barber, I understand that.
Well, but Steve's saying the holes were better, too. The holes were better, too.
Perhaps.
I don't know. I'm asking you, Ira. Sage, here he is, and the results are there. I'm not saying he's a great player, but what do you do? He's an unrestricted free agent. Of the many, many decisions Jason Light and Koetter have to make, left guard, they're not going to bring Smith back. I'd be surprised. So what do you do at left guard?
I'd probably let him go.
Ooh.
I'd probably let Pamfield go.
As versatile as he is?
He hasn't shown me enough, Lee. Hasn't shown me enough. They ain't run the ball worth a darn for 2 years. You can't argue that point. It's not all on little Doug Martin. A lot of it is, but not all of it. Nobody's run the ball particularly well except for Barber in a stretch last season. I don't like their run blocking up front. I don't think Pamfield's very physical. So I'm not going to lose sleep if I lose him. If I can get him for the right price, maybe I bring him back.
So do you invest heavily at left guard?
Hey, I'm the guy that said they needed a right tackle last year in the draft.
All right, so what do you – all right, well, let's talk about the offensive line then, Ira. You've just decided that you're going to let Pamfield test the market. Somebody probably signs him. I'll let him go. What do you do at left guard?
You bring somebody in.
Do you spend big money or do you look mid-range? What are you doing?
I'm looking at free agency. Guards don't break the bank, Lee.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I'm not talking about an all-pro guard, gentlemen. I'm not.
No, Norwell. He's going to be a free agent, unrestricted.
There's a kid in the draft from Notre Dame. He looks pretty good.
At
although
seven?
That's not a sexy pick. That's not a sexy
but
pick.
But at seven, that
well,
high?
if Barkley and Chubb are off the board, maybe you look at him.
Well, what about this defensive end from LSU? His name escapes me. I mean, is he chopped liver all of a sudden?
But then maybe it's best player available. If you take a guard at seven, the guy's got to be the next Will Shields.
But
Pamfield, to me, I'm not losing sleep, Lee. If I get him back, fine, let him compete. I'm not plugging him in as the surefire starter. Something happened last year that all of a sudden he split time with Evan Smith. Something happened.
Well, offensive line, despite what the knee-jerk reaction people have, they always blame the – always blame. I mean, the freaking offensive line is the reason why that there's global warming, for God's sake.
And by the way, Marpet told me almost assuredly that he is not moving back to right guard next year.
Okay.
He is not.
The Bucs have so bad of holes at defensive end, potentially at cornerback. Like, they already have a hole at cornerback.
Running and back.
Running back. But, again, that could be resolved in the draft pretty easy. They've got so many holes on the defense, and potentially more if they don't bring Grimes back. To me, I think you're creating a hole where a hole doesn't need to be made, number one. Number two, the money they're going to have to spend if Dirk Koetter wants to return in 2019 to fix some of those holes is going to be diluted if you go get a left guard. And, again, I don't think I'll lay money. Offensive line was not the reason why
the Bucs Panfield lost. Wants to get paid, too, Lee.
If you say goodbye to Panfield and you want to bring another guy in, I'm going to guess that guy's going to cost more than Panfield. Going to guess.
I'm just saying, I think this offensive line needs an upgrade. Donovan Smith's not going anywhere. Marpet's not going anywhere. They got Dotson at right tackle with Benenock maybe behind him. Sweezy's got another year to prove himself.
What? They're going to cut Sweezy.
I don't think they'll cut him because Light's still the general manager. That's going to be a tough cut for Light. That'll be a tough cut for Light to make, unless it comes from up above. Panfield's he's a guy right now. He's just a guy.
He's a guy, but you know what? They don't even have a guy at defensive end. They don't even have a guy at corner.
By the way, one thing we haven't talked about is, and with all proper attention to defensive end is, Gerald McCoy's, got like 10 years in this league. So you got to look at that. Go and McDonald and Baker are not.
Yeah.
You need to groom somebody behind. Behind McCoy.
I don't disagree with you there, Ira. But the immediate need.
It's not a top priority.
Yeah.
But it is an issue.
Yeah. The immediate need is, no question, corner or defensive. If they don't address that, Cutter's not coming back in 2019.
It's an issue,
and maybe not light.
It's an issue that rolls into the whole mindset of the team that I wanted to ask you about, Ira. The Glazers. So we assume. They've sort of put their blessing on the status quo. Dirk, come on back. Keep doing what you're doing.
It was a blemish, an asterisk.
Mike Smith, welcome back. We know you're a better football man than the 32nd ranked defense.
If we get you some pass rushes, you'll do a better job.
We'll help you out. Jason, you got your fifth year to build the pass rush. Come on back. You work nice with Dirk. We're okay with everybody. So that's sort of what we know now, just on the surface, right? That's the surface look. These guys are back.
I think that's going over with Buck Nation, Mr. Isbett.
Does
that count? Does it matter?
Well, I think Buck Nation believes that the team is going to still do something, right? It's still too early to give up that they're going to either spend in free agency or get some new coaches or do something
even
bold.
Even the stick carriers are alarmed right now, Lee.
Well, stick carriers turned on Koetter.
Stick carriers are alarmed.
But here we are, though. Here we are. So with this status quo setup that we're sort of in this mode right now anyway, You think they lean toward just bringing back a lot of these guys that Lee says are holes, but maybe the regime doesn't view them as holes?
Man. Well, the Glazers view themselves as owners and football fans, and they think they know a little bit about football. Sometimes they do.
I would hope so. They have access to information none of us have.
They know what a player looks like, the Glazers.
You would hope so.
Can you imagine the conversation that's going on with Ed Glazer in one of his mansions in Santa Barbara when the pass rush comes up of the Buccaneers? expletives are flying all over the dinner table. Pass the effing salt, dear,
And they throw it. They don't pass it. They wing it.
These guys know what the problems are. And you can't just go into a year and say everybody's coming back and we'll pick up a couple of guys in free agency and then all of a sudden we'll go 11-5.
I got a question for Steve. And for you too, Ira Roberts. Your podcast. You're the sage. But Steve, haven't you said before that these assistant coaches are on 2-year? No, we don't know about Mike Smith, but assistant coaches generally are 2-year contracts.
Yeah.
How could anyone with a straight face say, "Hoke, you did such an awesome job developing Vernon Hargraves. You're back. Jay Hayes, what a wonderful pass rush."
Well, like Ira said, the dates on those contracts often they go through January. And things could happen at the Senior Bowl or something. But usually you can a guy pretty quickly, right? They clear out ex-assistant coaches and start shopping. We haven't seen that yet as we record this.
There's a couple of guys I bring back.
Yeah,
like Grimes. No, I'm talking about even some of the players.
Oh, yeah. No, we know.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick. I got to take a long look at bringing Fitzpatrick back, especially not knowing Winston's status going into 2018 as we do this podcast.
Robert McLean also told me he wants to come back. I think that's a guy you got to bring back.
There's another decent signing.
He fit in well. Three picks. I mean, come on. He played well, versatile. Bring him back. But Robert Ayers is interesting. Lee has written maybe you bring back Ayers. He's only going to make $5, $6 million. And if you think he's healthy and he's still a good locker room guy, with the lack of talent that they have, maybe this is one guy you hang on to. What do you think on Ayers?
I got to do better, Lee. I got to do better than Ayers. I got to do better.
To be fair, and I'll let you answer, his tackles have not slipped at all. It's very consistent with the tackles.
He's 2 or 3 years removed from that breakout season with the Giants, Lee. He's diminished. He's getting injured a little bit. Excellent locker room guy, no question. Leader.
But takes his craft seriously.
I'm not paying $6 million for a leader.
You got to see results.
I'm blowing up that defensive line. But by the time the pieces land back to earth, you're not going to recognize
it. Well, Ayers is the anti-Swaggy Baker. He takes his craft seriously,
yes.
Works his tail off. He's very much a leader in that locker
room. Keeps people accountable. Yes,
he very
yes,
much
he
a
does.
Swag.
Maybe I keep him at a reduced price. Maybe I keep him at
I don't think Ayers keeps anybody accountable after the Swaggy Baker mess.
You know, that's a hell of a point.
I can't let anybody off the hook for that.
Ayers should have took Swaggy Baker aside and should have done a quantity.
And we would have paid admission for it.
Yes.
We would have paid admission.
You know, that's a hell of a point,
And
Steve.
What makes it even worse
that's
is,
a hell of a point.
Is that Ayers and Baker were rookies together in Denver. When Baker signed, I don't know if you guys remember, when he was introduced to the local media, he talked about how he's always stayed in touch with Ayers a few times a year, that they've stayed friendly. So Ayers knew the guy. Knew his game.
Boy, they sure got different demeanors.
Didn't get in his face. Didn't get in his face. And, you know, and congrats to Kwan and whoever yelled at Swaggy, but week 17, that's worthless stuff right there.
Yeah, the season's right over with. And that's a hell of a point. I never thought of that before. That's a hell of a point. And there's been examples I've been told of Ayers pulling guys aside and like, hey, you know, you got to be doing this. I mean, very much cleaning it up here. But as I wrote about bringing Ayers back, the words I used were, that's a tricky call. But if you're such a leader, where are the results?
Ayers, looking it up right now. He's played in 12 games in each of the last four seasons. So he's missing 25% of his last
right
four seasons. So I don't see it. I agree with you. I'd blow it all up. You should be able to find as good as Robert Ayers right now out there. But I got to ask you this, Ira, because fans, they're dialed into this. They need your deep thought, your deep sage
deep
experience.
Sage.
And you're stingy with it sometimes. Is Dirk Koetter right now... And Jason Light, are they pounding the streets looking for upgrades to this coaching staff? Are they trying to get better? Because we hear all the same stuff every offseason. We'll hear it from Jason Light all February and March.
Look under all rocks.
We're trying to get better at every position. We're trying to upgrade every position.
You spent three former podcasts talking about the degree of Koetter's loyalty to Doug Martin. If he's loyal to Doug Martin, how do you think he is to the defensive line coach? To answer your question, I don't think they are, and they should be. I don't think they are looking for upgrades.
Wow.
And I think they should be. The telltale sign will be the Senior Bowl. That you guys have been there. It's a meat market over there.
That's your cutoff time. That's your cutoff date. Nothing.
I think so. Past then, you're going with the status quo. I cannot believe the Glazers would be happy with a status quo coaching staff.
I can't believe they'd allow it.
Yeah, Steve, we got to get on to our playoff picks, my man.
Real quick, Ira, Jameis, he was asked before he left. He was asked about surgery. He was asked point blank, "Do you feel you'll need surgery to get your arm totally right?" And Jameis pretty much gave a whole big solid maybe. He said he'd have to evaluate that. He was going to be deep in rehab, and that he was going to be spending most of his time not on his game, but on his body. What do you make of that with him not saying
Lee,
no?
Lee, when you don't say no, then it could be yes. That's the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Buck fans want to hear absolutely not. Don't need it. I'm all healed up. He didn't say that. So nobody should be surprised if it happens.
His quote was, "I'm going to have to evaluate it." What the hell is that?
Boy, what an eventful offseason this is shaping up to be for Mr. Jameis Winston.
For the franchise.
Very interesting stuff there. I don't know. That could tie to the whole decision on coaches.
Coaches and loyalty. You talk about Koetter's loyal to Jay Hayes. I wrote an article about this once. I couldn't dig it up. Somewhere in there is the link. Many of the coaches on staff, not all of them, have the same agent as Koetter, who, if I remember right, that same agent was also Cutter worked with him as an assistant coach, and he decided to turn into an agent. Make with that what you will.
So, Ira, here we are. We're keeping the podcast short and sweet. Today, playoff picks. We had some fun with this last week. You were 3-1. I was 1-3. Lee was 2-2.
My only miss was a painful one. Ooh. Chiefs tight.
Your Chiefs choked on it. And here we are. So I will take you. We're going to go game by game around the horn. Titans at the Patriots.
Not a chance. Not a chance. Name that tune, New England. Name that tune. New England's in a pissy mood anyway. Tennessee shot its wad at Arrowhead. 2-touchdown victory for the Pats. What do you got, Lee?
No prayer for Tennessee.
I got to catch up. I want to believe a little bit in Mike Mularkey here and what the way they've been playing. So
that's
a
bunch of malarkey.
I'm taking the Titans, I think. I'll tell you why.
You mean for the spread?
No spread.
I can tell you what. He needs to catch up, like you said.
Yeah, he needs to catch up. All right.
But also, the Titans are going to be forced, and wisely so, into making Mariota run. I mean, let them run.
Right.
They're going to free him. They need this game. This is it. And the more he runs, I think the better he is. And so if they let him loose off the leash, anything can happen because he is that kind of athlete. So maybe they got a shot. And at least the defense is pretty good. All right. Jaguars at the Steelers. Sage?
Mike Tomlin's got a long memory. So does Roethlisberger. They spanked him pretty good. 5 picks against Roethlisberger. Probably one of the worst games Roethlisberger's ever played.
Maybe his worst, yeah.
He's going to remember that. Jacksonville's defense is going to show up. They always do. Big game, Heinz Field. Maybe if it was in Jacksonville, I think it would be closer. 10-point win for the Steelers. Lee, I don't think Jacksonville's got enough weapons. Pittsburgh's defense pretty good.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh rebounds from their earlier loss to Jacksonville. I just wish Jacksonville was playing New England, because I think that's the only team that has a shot of beating New England until the Super Bowl and maybe beyond. I thought Jacksonville would pummel Brady.
But I don't think that's the only way you beat Brady. You got to pummel him.
And now they'll pummel the Steelers for Brady if it comes to that.
You want to catch up by picking the Jags?
Yeah, I've been rolling the Jags all season long, so I'm going to go with that.
And you put your money where your mouth was with the Jags.
I did, and they beat them before.
All right.
But do I really think they're going to win? No. Bortles isn't as bad as he played last week. He's had some good games this year.
You're desperate, so. Steve. You're desperate.
I'm desperate. No. You know I've been riding Jacksonville all year long. Falcons at the Eagles, Sage.
I'll go against the grain and go with the Eagles. I think Foles is better than he showed the last two games. He was terrible. He's not a terrible quarterback. He's mediocre. And I think the Eagles are good enough. Their defense is very, very good. Matt Ryan's about to find that out. Philly didn't go 13-3 by accident. Now, Wentz was a part of it, a big part. But he wasn't all of it. That's a good football team. Atlanta played better than I thought they would out in Los Angeles. I think this is where the Falcon Express ends. I'm going with the Eagles.
Atlanta impressed the hell out of me in Los Angeles Saturday night. By the way, was that Al Michaels' first home game?
I think it was.
I think Atlanta's going to the NFC Championship. Look what they did to Jared Goff, that offense. NFL's best offense? I wouldn't say they neutered him, but they sure as hell controlled the game. Granted, fumbling 2 punts didn't help, or didn't hurt, I should say. But Atlanta's, as you would say, Mr. Kaufman, arrow pointing up.
Arrow pointing up.
I'm not betting on, excuse me. I am
not betting on Nick Foles?
Not betting on Nick Foles unless he's playing Tampa. Because he's amazing against the Bucks. Right. So
what backup isn't?
I'm rolling with the Falcons and Ira Sage. Saints at the Vikings.
Save the best for last. Best game of the weekend. Hell of a game. Hell of a game. I'm already on record with the Mad Dog saying that the Vikings are going to play the Steelers in the Super Bowl, which means it's a home game for the Vikings. I'm sticking with them. New Orleans got a heck of a team. They are good. Minnesota's got the better defense. I think by a considerable margin. I love the Viking defense. I put 3 Vikings on my all-pro team.
Woo!
On defense. Everson Griffin, which was a tough one because you got Cam Jordan, a bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
Of course, Calais Campbell's the other end. But I voted for Everson Griffin. I think he's an excellent player. Xavier Rhodes,
very good.
Mike Evans. He did make first team. And Harrison Smith, very good safety. I think they can curtail New Orleans' offense enough. And look, people have been doubting Case Keenum all year. He's got 2 good receivers. I'm going with the Vikings, Mr. DeKemper.
As we saw this weekend, experience matters. The clock strikes midnight for Mr. Case Keenum. Saints. It's going to be NFC South Championship. Saints versus Falcons.
Wow.
Saints will beat Minnesota. And unfortunately, the Skoll brothers up there in Minnesota will not get to see their beloved Vikings in a home Super Bowl game.
Sean Payton moves on for DeKemper.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think the defense is too strong. I was not impressed that the Saints couldn't run the ball against the Panthers. The Bucs did, so I'm going to go with the Vikings there. The crowd's going to be insane.
What about the Breeze factor? Breeze?
Breeze will throw some picks. He makes some mistakes, and I just think the Vikings' defense is what's going to win this game for him.
Javier will keep score for us, gentlemen.
Javier will keep score. And
what's Javier picking?
I don't know. But all right, Sage, final thought?
I'm on the road, baby. I'm on the road. Look out, US 19. Here I come.
Get out of here, Ira.